I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 4 is added agenda items. I would like to just add a letter as I have here that I'm going to pass among the counselors to read as a veterans outreach letter and not put it on an added item on the agenda. I would entertain a motion. Are there any corrections or changes to the consent agenda?
I have a couple.
Okay, so do I.
Okay, my changes on the minutes for April
11th.
Oh, I was
going to
do it.
Yes, April 11th. There's just some misspellings is all. And I think we want to give a plaque to Councilor Dell, Mackey, and not a plague.
No, I think it was a plague.
What page are you looking at? Could you give us the page?
Page 3 and 8.
Thanks, it looks like that too. On those same minutes, Mr. Mayor, on page 6, the second paragraph down, it refers to City Manager Allen and City Manager Hassan on both the same. I think one of them is not the City Manager, is that not correct?
We're trying to figure that out.
It was funny.
We've got a subcommittee looking into it.
Did you get the other one? Where
was that at?
It's on the April 11th minutes, page 6,
okay.
The second paragraph down.
I have that one, though.
Yeah. And there's one other thing on page, on the April 4th meeting. On page 4, at the bottom of the page where it says landscape and improvements at the City Hall site. I can remember discussing it, but I don't remember any specifics being mentioned. I thought that we were talking about getting someone to come in and look at it and give us a recommendation.
What page again?
It's page 4 of April 4th.
Yeah, page 4, April 4th, at the, almost the bottom of the page, where it says landscaping and improvements to the City Hall. Unless I wasn't listening, I didn't hear anything about crabapple trees and evergreen shrubs and all that. I did hear something about iron or fencing, but I don't remember the rest of it.
May I? I think when that was suggested and we talked about it, it was just kind of throwing it out. Well, maybe we can envision this kind of a thing going on, and I think I do remember that.
Yeah, I do.
Let me add to that if I can. For the record, Stephen Hassan. If you recall, we had a number of goals that we established for the city, and there were 17 of them, and we prioritized them and we provided some funding with them. And one of those goals that was approved, and that was again approved by the budget subcommittee, was landscaping for City Hall. And it has two component parts. It has a part that talks about coming up with a rendering, some kind of a graphical rendering that the council looks at and says, yep, we're fine with that. And if in fact you're fine with that, then the second part is the actual physical construction of the rendering that's provided to you. And so the one thing is actually in the works right now, and that is...
Staff, please.
The one thing is actually in the works right now, and that is we procured the services of a local designer to help come up with a computer graphic for a minimal amount of dollars, and then that will be brought to you within the next 30 days, and then we'll discuss it. And again, the goal is to try and start the process of a presentation roadway along Highway 97, and we're going to be the template for whatever that roadway presentation process. So when someone comes in and we say, you know, as part of your development or redevelopment of your property, you have to have a presentation, and they go, well, huh, what's that? And then we can say, look at the 450 feet along our frontage out here in front of the building. Okay.
Okay. I'd like to go back to, are there any other input? If not, I'd like to go back to...
I have one.
Okay. Let me get over here on the April the 11th minutes. We've noted the one about the city manager. Another one is... Mayor Mullick, on page 8, middle of the top paragraph, Mayor Mullick said the starting time will be 8:30 and it will go to 3 p.m. That should have been 1 p.m. And on page 9, the second to the last paragraph on the page, City Manager Hessen announced that a $45,000 grant was awarded for the transportation system. I'm sure that was said as CET. Transportation system?
CET.
Cascade East Transit.
Eastern State Transportation System.
Okay, yeah, I know what they're like in this thing.
Dan, you had...
Oh, yes. Can we go on to the April 16th minutes?
Okay.
I was absent by prior arrangement, and yet I showed the vote on adjourning the meeting, and I usually like to vote on adjourning the meeting, but I wasn't here to do that one. So.
Yes, but copy and paste it.
I know.
And then on April the 25th, I have a question on page 6. A motion at the bottom of page 6, a motion was made by Secretary Treasurer Makinson and seconded by Vice President Secretary Treasurer Saunders for water. Is that, how can you have two Secretary Treasurers?
Because the water and the sewer each have a Secretary and Treasurer.
And I was only reading into it. Says for water.
Okay, so I'll probably put for sewer on the other
yeah.
One. And that goes through all those motions.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
I'd like to bring one more thing to okay. Your attention, Lord Mayor. On the April 4th meeting on page 8, the bottom. Concerning the flag boxes, says that one of the flags was donated by Councilor Brannon and was flown by his grandson over the main base in Iraq. It was not flown by my grandson, it was flown at his request.
Which minutes were those again, Don, and what page?
Page 8 at the bottom.
For which ones? What date?
The 4th.
There's not a page 8 for the 4th.
Okay, I guess I looked at the wrong one. It's the 11th. Sorry about that.
Okay, page 8.
And the bottom page, it says about the flag that was flown. This is Councilor Griner's, and it was flown by his grandson over the main base in Iraq. It was flown at my grandson's request.
Oh,
Florida
just requested.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. Are there any other corrections to the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approval of the consent agenda.
I move we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Consent agenda.
That's corrected?
That's corrected.
Second here.
It's motion and seconded to approve. Is any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's approved. Public comments at this time? Hearing no public comments, we'll go to item 7, ordinance number 2012-04, an ordinance authorizing the assumption of outstanding debt of the Lapine Water District, authorizing the execution and delivery of an assignment and assumption agreement and amended and restated water bonds to the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, authorizing the execution and delivery of related documents, designating an authorized representative of the city and related matters. This is a public hearing, and I open the public hearing at this time. Staff comments.
This document is how we legally can get the bonds that the USDA sold or has. Actually, they live inside the heat. That the districts have, so this is part of the transfer. So these amounts of monies, there's a couple loans, and even they did get grants, but these loans are the ones that are outstanding in the water district. And we hired ORIC, who is the bond counsel, and then this is a requirement that's basically saying we're gonna assume the debt of these things, and so that it all makes it work for the USDA, and that they're gonna get repaid. And you know, you'll see in there it talks about reserves and all of those things that are maintained. Those reserves, it's the same reserves the districts have, and that we have to maintain. So the districts have one thing about it; they've done a good job of building their reserves and having their reserves. You know, you have to give them credit for that. They've definitely met all those requirements. So when that money comes over, we'll have it. So it doesn't affect us at all. So this is what needs to be done. This is not an emergency. It can't be an emergency by their rules. So it will not take effect for 30 days. That's why it's important to do it tonight, because this won't take effect until June. And we're trying to get the transfer done for July.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Any further staff comments? Hearing none, I'll open it to the public for public comment at this time. Any public comment, name and address?
Ted Scholler, 15640 Cornell Drive. I think Rick answered my question. The motion addressed the debts, and I was thinking, well, we've also got assets, and I think Rick addressed those through the reserves and so on that would be assumed, and I understand it for USDA services.
All right. Thank you. Any further comments? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Counselors? Stewart, any input?
Just housekeeping. No comment.
I'm curious. We're voting on all of what's in this packet, the exhibit A's and B's as well? Or?
Yeah. I mean, they obviously have to be. There are, in the reasoning, that's that they don't know the exact dollar amount, depending on the day that this all happens and things like that.
So all those blanks, how do we prove this in concept and then?
No, this is, I mean, the ordinance, this is the ordinance.
Yes.
That authorizes this to all happen. The payments are what the payments are.
The payments are as they are.
Yeah, because it's all, we're just assuming. We're not, it's not a new loan. It's assuming a loan that is existing. And we don't have, it's like anything, if you take it over on the 15th of July, you take a car loan, or house loan, you owe this much. If you do it one day later, it's $5 different.
They usually know.
But we can't, the USDA, the bond council can't guarantee when the USDA is going to be done with their paperwork. This could trend, I mean, we hope it's July 1, but at this point it could be August.
Do we have a current number? We have a balance that, like...
Yeah, the balance is...
Yeah, it's $2,826,500.
That was the original. That was the original amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have with me, I don't have a five. What the balance...
It just seems like being responsible for this, we should know kind of, I mean, closer than...
Yeah, I mean, I can get you those. Like I say, it is what it is. If you're assuming the sewer and water districts, you're assuming this loan, regardless of what the number is. They did a 20-year, you know, 20-year note on one, and something. And the payments are what the payments are. The interest rate isn't changing.
Sure. That's
so
right. That's true.
But I agree with you. You know, they've been, the one loan was an 03 loan, and the other one's 05, so they've been paying on them for 9 years in one case.
Well, we do know, it is true, like Stu said, we know where it started, and it's less than that, and it is just part of the transaction, so.
Yeah, like we did. Like one of the questions I asked is, what if interest rates were half a point less now? When we go and they said, no, you're not going. This you're just assuming a loan that's existing. It's kind of like you would in a business transaction. However, just because I did ask that question, they said this is very close to what you're getting at. So there's no, in other words, we wouldn't be able to go out and save a point on interest right now if we were to do it, because I kind of thought, gosh, it'd be nice if you could save some money.
Yeah, it is. Boom.
So it's...
Councilor Brenner?
It appears to me like we either approve it or we forget about taking over the water and sewer department. I think that everybody's committed to do that, so we're kind of obligated to go ahead and pass the resolution.
I'm looking at the balance sheet for February of 2012 that Lori just brought over, and it shows...
Okay.
A balance of $2,391,693 as of February 29th on the revenue bond. And then revenue bond 2 of $289,000 and some change. So it gives us a ballpark.
Yeah, I've got the audit on mine here from the audit shows. They probably make one payment a year. Could be two.
Well, I'm satisfied that we're knowledgeable about
what the
close to what it is.
Yeah, good question.
Kathy, any comments?
No.
Stu, you said something about housekeeping? Was that...
Well, that's all, yeah, it's what okay. It is. It's
okay.
Housekeeping.
Okay. If there's no further comments at the council, I will close the public hearing. Well, I did that already. So, as a result of council deliberations, I'd entertain a motion to approve, ordinance number 2012-04.
I move.
Okay, go ahead.
I shall move.
I'll second.
The motion been made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2012-04. All those in favor?
Aye.
Do we need a roll call on this?
Yeah,
okay. Roll call vote, Kathy?
Yay. Yes, Councilman Hagan.
Dan Barco, yes.
Don Brander, yes. Stu Martinez, yes.
Any opposed? The ordinance is approved. The Lapine Senior Center request for matching funds grant.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to say that I have a conflict of interest here and I reserve comment or vote.
Thank you. Is there anybody here from the Senior Center? Seeing none?
I'm not sure if I have a conflict of interest or not, so.
Are you a senior?
No. I'm a senior.
That's good.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Is it because you have a membership?
I have a membership and I use the facility a lot. you know, I'm involved in some of the, and I don't know.
No conflict?
I don't think
it's
so.
Okay.
Good. Generally, a conflict is that you would either, you know, and it's, first of all, it's up to you. The person has to decide that for themselves. But a general rule of thumb, you would have a financial interest, a relative, if your husband worked there, if your daughter worked there, if you worked there, if you just go there, as anybody could go there, then you don't have a conflict of interest. But normally, just a broad brush, follow the money. If there's a money interest that you or your family has to gain by the decision you're making, then you have a conflict.
Okay.
And you just go there for lunch, or you go there and play bingo with everyone else, or go to an event there, everyone could declare a conflict if that was the case. So it's good to learn.
I'd like to say at this time that we all have in front of us the document from the Lapine Senior Center. It has, and we've all had a chance to read this ahead of time. It delineates adequately, in my mind, that what their request is for, and the basis of need. And I would ask the council for comments.
Well, I'll make one comment. This is difficult for me. I know the gas that backs up in that building can be atrocious. And I believe it was Monday the gas company came in and shut it down because it was so strong. So we all had to leave. So that, and then concerns with the money they've had, where it's gone. I know they've had to do painting, etc. So I guess I have some confusion there, and yet I support them, so I don't know what to do.
Do you find of any kind of problem associated with the fact that they've outlined the reason that they want it and the basis of need?
My understanding is that in order to keep it open and functional for Meals on Wheels and the lunches that they do serve, that this needs to be fixed. It seems like a priority, from what I understand, for them to continue operation.
Mr. Mayor, I can clear this up if you'd like. I can more or less testify rather than vote on it. The Senior Center's been there for about 6 years, like it says here. During that time, there's been an awful lot of problems with the Senior Center, the way it was constructed, the way the county and the builder and the architect worked together, and the things that went wrong with it. They had a big meeting of all these people, and everybody pointed, you did it, you did it, you did it, and they walked out of the meeting knowing that there was all of these problems and did nothing about it. Now this, what it is not the gas situation. It's a sewer situation. And what happens is the way that it was plumbed, it's plumbed with all the grease that goes through the dishwasher and everything in the kitchen goes right into the main sewer line, right straight into the main sewer. When the building was constructed, they put a 5,000-gallon grease trap in the alley on the north side of the building. And they piped just a rinsing sink to that grease trap, which does nothing but put regular water in the grease trap. And it doesn't do anything with the grease. It still sends it out into the sewer. And that sewer line runs underground outside, and once the hot grease goes through that line and gets to the outside of the building, after about so long, it clogs up that line. When it clogs up that line, the sewer backs up into the quilt room, into the handicap bathroom, into the women's bathroom, and as far back as into the kitchen if it isn't caught immediately. Right now, the grease has run through a temporary trap that requires just bare minimum, about a clean out every 30 days of over $80 each time they come in and do it, because you have to have a sanitary type cleaning mechanism. And what the grant would do, we've already raised half of the money at the senior center, but we feel it's imperative we get it done as quickly as we can. And we have about one or two weekends that we're free to get it done, because it has to be done over the weekend. And what they will do is they will cut the line to the grease trap and send all of the effluent from the kitchen that has any grease in it into the grease trap. When it gets into the grease trap, the grease settles on one side, the water goes up and over and into the sewer system from there. So the way it is right now, not only does it cost the senior center money, but it costs the water and sewer department money, because we're having them come down and have to do excessive pumping of the equipment and everything. So what has to be done is the plumbing has to be done. In order to do that, have to cut up the floor in the kitchen. And also, there has to be a clean out of the old line that's running through the sewer right now, because it's probably plugged up, and hopefully this will take care of the problem for good.
Stu, push blue.
If I could ask Don, because you're kind of advising us on this problem, but I thought there was someone in town that pledged to fix that.
Not to my knowledge. We've got one of the contractors in town that said that they could come in and do it for a specific amount of money, and then when we've got the money about half raised, we're told by the contractor that he no longer wants to do it, so we're going to have to go out and get another contractor to do it, and we're working on that right now. But nobody has offered to do it.
I thought at a chamber breakfast, a challenge was put out from a local business, and I thought there was a local business that pledged to cover the cost of that.
Yes, he did put out a pledge, and he gave us a check for, I believe it was around $500.
Okay.
I think this presents itself as a perfect opportunity for the city to assist one of our stellar organizations in an extremely difficult and needy situation. I think it's been defined. It's been there a long time. I know they've worked on it for a long time at trying to come up with a resolution, and I think this is something that's worthy of our attention.
May I make one more comment, please?
Sure.
One thing about it is we get the comment all the time, why do you need any help from anybody? You're getting public assistance. I want you to know that there's been absolutely no public assistance. We don't get any tax money or anything like that. And we have just completed nearly $30,000 worth of renovation on the building and on the property, which is maintenance that you have to do as a building goes on. And I want you to know that all of that money was earned down through the years by the senior center and their volunteers. And we have a volunteer staff up there that is just out of this world, and they really, really do a lot for not only the senior center, but for the community.
Don, just a question on logistics of this. You said that the person that had said he would do it and set the amount. I'm assuming that you said set the amount. And he's backed out of it now, and you're looking for another person. So is there a possibility that you're going to need more than $4,000? or where is that at? No, I mean, I'm saying there is that your initial target was $4,000,
right,
and yet you don't have a contractor telling you that that's what they're going to charge you.
Well, we looked into it, and as close as we can tell, we can still get it for just under $4,000. However, we have to do some plumbing on the outside of the building, digging up some pipes and everything right at the sewer tank to make sure that that's cleaned. And we've been assured that we can get it all done for $4,000.
Okay. Any further comment on council? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to, first let me ask, is there consensus that this is a worthy cause? Then I would entertain a motion that we approve the senior center's request for $2,000 in assistance to repair and fix their grease trap in the amount of $2,000. Do you have a motion?
Go ahead, Kathy.
I guess I'm just wondering what the hesitation is and what is obviously concerning to us.
Kathy, what I can suggest to you is that you can make the motion. It can either be seconded or not. And if it's seconded, then we can discuss it. So the normal process would be, go ahead and make a motion because it'll come back to discussion again. And
okay, I make the motion to consider the $2,000 for the senior center for repairs.
Is there a second? Counselor?
Can we have discussion?
After the second.
Yeah, it's just a formality to make a second.
Well, the only thing that can make is that if you think it needs to come, talk about it and come back at another meeting. Sometimes there's votes you just don't want to take. You look at the audience you're talking about, the issue. So if it's a vote that has some potential issues, needs discussion. There's nothing wrong with spending a little time discussing it. Come back and work it with your city manager and come back in a couple weeks for a lot of reasons.
Okay. I appreciate staff's input there. There being a second to the motion, can I have a motion that we table this item until our next session or the next special session?
Yeah, I make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor of tabling this this item for our next council meeting or special meeting?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The motion or the items tabled. And now we have on the agenda a request from the Pine Frontier Days Association for a donation. And do we have somebody here from Frontier Days to present the request?
You most certainly do.
Request.
Do you want me to read the letter again, or do you have it in front of you?
We have a letter.
Name and address.
Ann Gaywith, 51501 Birch Road, Lapine.
Record reflect that she's president of the Lapine Frontier Days Association, please. I think we've all read the letter. Having done that, if you want to give us an overview of your request.
Well, the request stems from me looking far into the future. It looks like we're getting closer and closer to obtaining the land down the street here. from the BLM, and that will become the permanent home for Frontier Days and Rodeo. And Frontier Days needs more sustainable funding. We need to know that we have a certain amount of funding coming in on a yearly basis, even if it is just the $2,500, which I know that's a lot of money to the city. It's a lot of money to Frontier Days as well, but it's a very small portion of what we need to put on the event. But if I can start compiling a lot of these small pieces and get some sort of commitments to have these in the future, it's going to make our job of moving Frontier Days to the new property and making it the event it can be much easier. We're really running into problems this year with a lot of our larger sponsors have either closed down and moved out of town, as with Home Federal Bank and now South Valley Bank, and several other larger sponsors that have chosen to cut their sponsorships in half. So this year in particular, that $2,500 is going to go a long way to help the event. But I'm really looking into the sustainability of it. And so I came up with the idea of the city sponsoring the program guide, which is our way of raising funds. We sell advertising in it, but of course it's also our way of getting the word out to the general public and all of Central Oregon about what's happening on the event. It's a very important piece of Frontier Days.
Any questions, Council? Kathy?
No, not at this time.
Dan?
Comments?
Or questions?
Comment? No, just I would just say that this is like Lapine's premier attraction event, and I feel like it's appropriate that the city support it.
Don? Stu?
I'd just like to ask you to have we approach a chamber for funding.
The chamber does, at the visitor center side of that, does come up with a fair amount of funding for advertising out of the area to the tune of a couple $1,000s on the visitor center side, yes. So no, we have not approached that. The chamber doesn't have money in their budget for that types of donations. I think they have never really done that. They've done small donations, memberships, for instance. They are members of the association, and they do that sort of thing. But any grants that they give is on the tourism side. The tourist center, and yeah, they do get money from that. But that's, as you know, is pretty specific how that can be applied. It has to be for advertising out of the 50-mile area and that sort of thing.
Well, that's my question, I guess.
Getting back
to some of our policies is organizations coming to the city and then going to the chamber.
Yeah, the double dipping issue.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, they're two different. What I'm asking for are two completely separate things. What the TRT funds are funding is specifically marketing and promoting outside of the 50-mile area.
And Stu, may I?
No, go ahead.
I'd like to clarify this idea about double dipping, and I'll give you a perfect example of it. Last year, the TRT funded a race car for a set amount of money. That group came to the city and said, we would like to ask the city to come up with $1,000. And this become the very focus of the idea about double dipping, because it does actually speak to double dipping.
Well,
I think what we have here, as you've described it well, is that there is any number of things that this advertising is related, that can be related to, that benefits the community, that really I can't see it as double dipping.
Well, if I can clarify the race car issue, that TRT money was actually for advertising. It was advertising on the race car, but it was advertising Frontier Days and Rodeo, Western Days, other events, that the larger events in Lapine on the race car. That's what that TRT money was spent for, was for those big decals and the panels that were needed for the race car. It would be my understanding that they came to you to actually to fund their efforts in taking the race car itself to the races and the funding of the actual race car. We, the TRT money went for the advertising on it, which was advertising Lapine and the events.
I guess I personally can draw a difference between the fact that you are emboldening something with a level of advertising of that fashion versus you've taken one of the biggest events that we have in Lapine that fills up our hotels, that brings money into this community, and there's no argument with this. It's not nebulous or anything. And you send a request to a newspaper in Eugene to put an ad in the paper that, come on over guys, you're going to have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That to me is totally different than this race car thing. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so.
Well, just a further comment there. I would think it would be reflecting more in the second policy statement that was just approved by the Budget Committee for your consideration. And that is, in the future, when a funding request such as is the president of the or the director of the chamber is providing for you, and not looking directly at the chamber, but anyone coming in, the staff would do a vetting and provide you some background just to help you with your decision-making process. Okay.
Right.
The other, you know, the thing is that we, in the budget meeting we just had, we talked about community sponsorships and allocated dollars mm-hmm. for that.
That's true.
I think that's separate from the transient tax money.
And you're correct. You know, there's no, if you're looking over this direction and you say, given the policy statements that were just constructed, is there any issue here with this budget or this funding request? There is none.
Okay.
It's free and clear of those policy issues.
All right.
Thank you. That clears you made.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Then I would entertain a motion that we approve this request of the Lapine Frontier Days Association, that the city sponsor the program guide of Lapine Frontier Days in the amount of $2,500.
I make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's passed. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Request for funding of a item 10 has been withdrawn from the agenda, and that being the case, I will move to item 11, other matters. Stu, you got any other matters? Okay. Public comment at this time. Name and address?
Sure. You have to hit a color? Or?
Yeah, red.
Push blue.
Blue? Red?
Blue means you're staying longer.
No, oh.
Red no, is vaporizing, so you want
to... Oh, I want to be red. It's blue or red?
You might get... electrocuted
too. Oh, good. I need to go. Okay, blue? Yeah. Okay. Vicki Jackson, 17346 Mink Court. Just a couple questions. I know in California, when restaurants have grease traps or trap, my understanding is that it's not supposed to go in the sewer at all. Is that correct? I figured you knew. And I was just wondering, what are all the other restaurants doing I'm just wondering, is that all going in the sewer, or is it getting cleaned out?
That's a health issue.
It's not our issue yet. It may be our issue in the future. Typically, any kind of, and not just restaurants, but there is a number of commercial ventures that need to pre-treat before they discharge into the sewer system, and that's to maintain the integrity of the sewer system. And certainly once the sewer system comes over here as part of the city, then the city will be ever so diligent to make sure that any kind of business enterprise that comes in is evaluated for pre-treatment processes, so that nothing is getting in our sewer system that doesn't belong there. Okay.
Sounds good. Okay.
If you don't mind, I can answer part of that question. The way it's supposed to go is there's a large trap, underground trap, and as the grease goes in there, it's in several sections. And as grease goes in there, it settles to the bottom, or it comes to the top, and the liquid goes out underneath and up over another barrier, and then down and out to another line. It goes directly to the septic system. So all the liquid that is not grease goes from that to the septic system. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Okay, well, on the septic system, though, I think, of course, I'm not an expert or anything, but I thought with septic systems, you know, we have them all, we're not supposed to be putting any grease down because it could clog your leach field, but you guys will be dealing with that when you take the sewer over. And then my other question was TRT funds. I believe that they're all going to the visitor center to dole out to organizations coming to them, and I had forgotten what that was for and how it's supposed to be.
And your question is?
It's about TRT funds that the city receives.
Right.
Where does it go?
The city keeps 30%, and the other 70% goes to some organization that manages tourism.
Is that the Lapine Visitor Center?
In this case, it is.
Right, because I think you guys used to, well, actually, I think you had a TRT committee before.
Yeah, but we don't have that anymore.
Right, so you did away with that, and then you've given the authority to the Lapine Visitor Center, so you've kind of given away that, so it's up to them on who and what they give away public funds. Am I correct in that?
The city, I'm going to make a comment and then turn it over to staff, but the city will always have a responsibility to oversee public funds. Okay, so having said that, there is a need for us to make sure that money is being handled in an appropriate way. And I'll a short comment because we're out of time for comments.
Okay. That's fine.
Just coincidentally, the staff has this concern. It isn't so much a concern that the monies are going to the Tourist Bureau for the Chamber, but that there needs to be adequate reporting, oversight, and assurance that those monies are spent for what they're spent for. And so I will be approaching the Chamber this week, within the next couple days, and talk to them about a contract that will set out various performance oversights just to ensure the integrity of those monies. So, and not to say in any way that the Chamber or the Tourist Bureau isn't handling them properly, but you don't have the controls in place that I'd like to see. So I'm going to say, let's put some controls in place so we have a comfort level that when we give you those monies, that there's no opportunity for misuse of those funds. Okay, so that's coming right up.
Thank you. That was one of Adele McAfee's concerns when you changed it. Thank you.
Are there any further public comments? Hearing none, we shall move on to committee reports. Councilor Reinert.
Well, I was at the COIC meeting this last week, and they're looking for a method of funding for Cascades Transit and the different issues that it comes up with. And they want something that's permanent, not like we did last time, pass something to get a quick grant that's going to last for a year and then be out. And so they're looking for us as a city to make a recommendation as to what kind of funding that we would like to see. And here's the different types of funding that they have put forward for consideration. First, a property tax increase. That's one thing. A payroll tax for the area. A levy of dues. Now, according to the government, a body of a local entity, Oregon statutes gives them the ability or the authority to pass a levy without going to a vote of the members of, or a vote of the people. So that's one possibility. They made it quite clear that they didn't think that would fly, but it's one of the things that they have down. A local gas tax is another way. A utility fee, or a local sales tax, or just a plain increase in fares. So you might be thinking about that, because I have to go back to the next COIC meeting with our recommendations as what we feel that would come up with a local funding for the level of service that we have. And also, there's a bunch of money out for a bicycle transportation authority. And we have, it's a two-stage process. We can apply online, and if we decide that we want to take part in that and get some of that money, the application must be in by 5 o'clock on June the 12th. So I pass that information on to our city manager, and I imagine that that should go to the public works director, and all of them come together and make up whatever application they would like. That's my report.
Thank you, Don. That was great. Stu, you have anything?
No, I don't.
Okay. I'd like to report on the visit that the city manager and I made to the Oregon Transportation Commission's meeting that was held here in Central Oregon, in Madras. And it was an extremely valuable opportunity to have them come over into this area and actually hold their meeting. And a great deal of the meeting had to do with larger transportation issues that affect the whole state, but they also had a one session where they talked about Central Oregon and some of the complicated aspects of transportation and the current, what do I call it, current limitations in the law as it relates to permitting certain kinds of road construction and access, and the things that are really, that could be really good for anywhere in Oregon, but they were speaking here of Central Oregon, they're hampered because of some of the wording in the ORSs that limits what they can and can't do. There is a general feeling that this needs to be corrected, and they were moving through several items to make that happen. The other piece was that we really got to meet and have an opportunity to speak to the major players in ODOT, from the Transportation Commission members down to Matt Garrett, who is the ODOT director, and a lot of his staff, and it was I was really pleased of their impression of Lapine and where they see their ability to help Lapine in the future. Trip 97 was a discussion, and if you're not familiar with it, it is a collection of the cities in Central Oregon to come together to maximize their ability to address the state in doing something about Highway 97 as a complete package, instead of doing one little piece here and a piece there and a piece there over the years. So, City Manager, do you have anything that you want to add to that?
No, I think you did a good job. It was nice to have face-to-face contact with Matt Garrett, who is the director of ODOT, and to have his ear. Strength in numbers, too, is important. And I think that's working.
Yes.
Okay. And that's all. It was a good meeting, well worth the time and energies. And also, we've established better contact with ODOT, and particularly with the local office here on Reed. And we're going to get some dividends out of that dialogue.
I think it's a perfect example of this presence and relationships by being out there, going out and being part of these discussion groups and setting in and making your needs and your ideas and all of that, making them aware of that. I see it better every time. Every time I get around a group, they've got a better feeling, and I have to say it's about Lapine, because they come up to us and talk to us to get a feel. So it was a great meeting and a great opportunity for the city. Staff comments?
Well, probably just a follow-up. There is a consortium, and I'm not exactly sure what their name is. I'm going to call them the Solutions Committee. And they are coming to Lapine. They're going to come here to City Hall. They're coming on the 7th of June. They're bringing up a whole host of individuals to talk to us in general about land use, about housing, about transportation, general issues we might have. It's going to be a team of different people from the state to hear what our issues are and to share concerns. And also, I understand they may have a little money. And the meeting will start, I believe, around 10:30, 11, and we'll go to 2, and certainly the public is welcome to attend that solutions team's presence and provide some comment and insight to local issues. But it's just nice. It's just one more opportunity that presents itself for us to reach out and be known and to contact and correspond. And again, with the idea that we're going to advance the cause here in this fine community. Thank you.
Can I add one piece to that? The governor is charged through this new organization, the solutions teams. There's 6 of them in the state. They have their regions. The one that services, I think it's 3 counties, Central Oregon being in there, is Annette Leba. She is extremely fond of Lapine. She came down one time and our public works director took her all over town and showed her everything, and she was at the Liggy meeting here just
yesterday.
She, I am convinced, was instrumental in raising the visibility of the Little Deschutes Lodge number 2 to the proper level that brought that back into being approved. It brings all of these departments, and we're talking about the word solutions, it brings all of these departments in the state together Gary Fonsworth, who's the director of
ODOT
for Region 4, he is a member of this committee. So all of them sit around and find solutions for fixing something or doing something that otherwise, you know, it would bounce over a long period of time going around through all the departments. So it's really a fantastic idea. And she has a direct contact to the governor's office. So that's what this solutions team is approach is really all about. Further staff comments?
Do this one while you're quite easy recharging there. Just, you know, you look at that. You'll notice on there you've got your little the law on your equal opportunity stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's there. Thank you.
I'm filling out our things with for the USDA loan transfer. Been working on that a lot, and wanted to make sure that we meet all the ADA requirements and things. One of them is to have the ADA law poster posted, and which it is now. Make sure that employers and so on know that we follow those rules and regulations, and there is the law, so it's being presented to you, and it's posted here. You know, the ADA has lots of little requirements and things, and as we're getting started, the USDA, it's kind of a check-off list. They want you to make sure that you follow as part of the requirements, obviously. One of the things is a TDD phone, so if someone needs to have a little scroll thing. And so I've got Kathy DeBone checking on a price. We may have to have one of those available here. It would go right on our regular phone line. We're going to have to buy another phone line. I've been working with the folks in Seattle at University of Washington who handle this for Oregon Washington with ADA type issues. And so I today emailed Kathy to get a price, and we'll see if we can get that. I doubt that the districts have one, and I doubt they've ever had anyone call and want one, but that's just what the laws are. So we'll meet all of those rules. But in the process of that also, we need to have an ADA kind of coordinator. Now, we don't have a lot of staff, so I looked around the room and thought, who is our best candidate to be our ADA coordinator who would be on top and study all those issues? And so my recommendation, and of course we typed it up before we asked him, under the Disabilities Act, I think we should have the council appoint our esteemed city manager, our ADA coordinator. You'll notice the front is kind of says the types of things that, you know, we'll make modifications if someone comes in and take care of folks, basically. The back page is a grievance. If someone said, you know, I don't know, we've got 20 chairs here without arms, and 30 people need to come in without arms. We need 5 more chairs like that. They could file a complaint to Steve and say, you need 5 more chairs that will accommodate me. Then he has 15 days and so on. So it's just kind of a process of how we would deal with a complaint. You know, you see where Ben's had some issues with ADA. We fortunately, this A is our only building at this point, and it's new. So we're pretty good on everything. We have ADA bathrooms, we have ADA ramps and ADA parking and all of that. But, you know, over time someone may come along and ask for something. We have the hearing impaired equipment in this room for if someone needed it. If we get the TDD phone, that'll take care of someone that calls in. And, you know, so anyway, I'd ask for you to maybe approve our city managers, our ADA coordinator for the city.
I'll entertain a motion to
if you'll accept.
Approve the city manager as our ADA coordinator.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to appoint the city manager as the city's ADA coordinator. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Approved. Congratulations.
Well, I'm just saying, in response to Rick's goodwill, that no good deed goes unpunished.
Yes.
You know, the time's getting shorter on all of this, and you know, we still have a July date, and today I finished up the self-evaluation certification of the USDA, and I, you know, first started into this thing, but we got that to Jeremy today, and then the mayor came in and signed, and different people here, Pat, Lori signed some of the mayor, we had a lot of documents that had to be submitted to that do everything from fair housing to, you know, it's just amazing when you get into all of the ADA stuff. And not just ADA, but maybe, I guess USDA. So, you know, we've not ever had that yet, so being our first time, there's just it's form after form after form. You know, do I lobby in Congress? You know, I have to fill out releases that I don't do lobbying at the federal level, and do our employees have a financial relationship with anyone at USDA, and you know, just one thing after another, and all of that is in transit. Next Monday, we'll be meeting here at 10 a.m., I believe, or 11, yeah, 10 a.m. with the USDA. Remember, I'll resend you an email on that, but Jeremy and I and Steve and Pam Swires will be here to see if there's, you know, things that we're missing or, you know, and keep that whole process going. And then we're really digging in, we're working in on kind of the whole employee issues. And I will probably start to my call visit with some of you here and there on some thoughts on that. There's ORSs, and then there's policy, and then there's politics. And all three have a piece of the pie ahead. So, I am getting, like right now, I've been getting lots of benefit schedules from different agencies. I got Lapine Fire, I got City of Sisters, I have City of Prineville, and I'll get City of Mattresses on Monday for, you know, everything from soup to nuts on benefits and things. And so all of that, we will have some decisions. It may take a special meeting. It could be some things thrown in on some nights, but you know, as we're moving, I've made up the job descriptions. They're in draft form for the positions we will have here. Today I spent an hour and a half with our labor attorney, Katie Tank, it's probably Williams and Wyatt. And yeah.
I met her just the other day.
So we worked on job descriptions today. I'd done the drafts, and now she's going to go run through the legal review. So it's really getting interesting. And Steve and I spent a little time today talking. There's really a lot, and so we'll see where we get with all of this. And there's a lot of pieces between a bargaining unit and those employees and coming here. Our personnel policies. Vacation time that they have now, sick leave they have now, our policy, how it translates their sick leave to our sick leave. We have a PTO. We combine sick and so all last week and so far this week, basically I've been working on this, you know, most of my time in Mattress all day. It's trying to work through all of this. So it's fun. It's interesting. But, as I told Steve, we'll get down here to where there's some law and there's politics. And while I and he are working on the law side, and that's what I'm negotiating, at some point you guys will make some decisions that the law won't answer for you.
And that's not saying you can do lawlessness.
So that just gives you a warning of the fun ahead. And we don't have a lot of time because really we have about a month we'll be making those decisions before July 1. So I guess that's enough for now.
Just one quick question of staff. What is now the process of the budget? For those that weren't here, the budget was approved tonight,
and Lori can jump in as well. What we did tonight is as part of assembling an annual budget, you have a two-pronged process. You have a budget committee that's constructed that reviews all the budget details and makes certain actions themselves, but mostly recommends to the council. Okay? They took actions tonight to take certain actions and to recommend certain actions, and those actions will then come to the council. The council is the final decision maker on the budget. I believe we've scheduled that for the 23rd of May. We're going to have a special meeting that particular day. There's three items, and one of them is the budget. And with a little bit of luck and hope, that thing will be before you. And because you've been a part of the budget committee, and also because you set the priorities prior to that, I would hope that it would be a pretty transparent and seamless process.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is that correct there, budget officer?
Yeah, you make a resolution for the state sharing funds, share funds, revenue, and then also approving the tax levy and the budget amount.
Okay. Thank you. Counselor's comments? At 7:15.
I've been sitting here thinking about this little conversation about the Lapine Senior Center, and I didn't have much to say, and I got to thinking maybe I should say something, and that is that I really support the Senior Center. I really support the seniors. I felt like somebody should have been here from the Senior Center besides Don to help us through that process, and I think the problem may be more than what is on paper, and maybe there's other ways and other things that we can do. So, especially for Don and anybody else, I want you to know that I'm all about that. I'm not sure that the city is the cure-all for it or anything like that, but I think when we formed the city, we said we wanted to respect and take care of our seniors, and that was one of the things. But I just felt like we really didn't have adequate information, and I've heard other things about the process that's going on there in the repair process that wasn't brought out. So I just feel like we need more information, and we said we would get that and do that. So anyway, I just wanted to make that statement. Thank you.
Okay. If anything, I just echo what Dan said there. Yeah, there's nothing more important than our seniors and youth.
It's one of the four tenets. Anything else, Kathy?
Okay.
Hearing nothing, entertain a motion to adjourn.
What if nobody makes a motion?
I'm out of here.
I thought we were checking.
Motion second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
You got my number.